Welcome to the Healing with Meg podcast. We will be talking all things acne, skin health, hormonal health, and so much more. The mission is women's optimal health. I'll be doing a mix of solo episodes, Q&A sessions, along with having experts, doctors, coaches, estheticians, dermatologists, deep diving into women's health with a focus on skin issues. Let's dive right into the episode. In this episode, I wanted to talk about whether going vegan can cure your acne or help your acne. I also wanted to look at, is being plant-based a good option for women's health? And I wanted to share a little bit about my personal experience with being vegan. I'm not vegan anymore, so I was vegan for about 6.5 years, nearly 7 years. My current stance on veganism. Even though I'm not vegan anymore, I'm still fully supportive of anyone who decides to be vegan or eat plant-based, fully supportive of that. And I think it can definitely work for some people, just not everyone. And that's what I discovered with me, is that in the end, I just very intuitively, honestly, I just got cravings. I had cravings for eggs, cravings for fried eggs, cravings for steak and burgers, which as a vegan, I was sort of like, whoa, I'm not meant to be having these kind of cravings. I'm not meant to be liking the smell of that food, but all of a sudden I am. And I am very much a person who believes you have to go with your own instincts and your own true feelings about something. And you have to realize at a point, if something isn't working for you anymore, you have to be honest with yourself that, okay, maybe this is a bit of a hit to my ego in a way, but that doesn't change the fact that I am struggling on a vegan diet and I'm getting all these cravings for different animal foods. Although it goes against my personal beliefs, although it goes against my ideas of a perfect world where we don't kill animals, even though it goes against that, I have to be honest with myself and the fact that my body just didn't feel that great anymore. And it was more so for me, my head, my brain health, that I think needed some animal products in my life. There are a lot of nutrients you are missing on a vegan diet. It just is what it is. And yes, there are supplements and different things like that that can help. One supplement that everyone needs and that's really important for your brain health is vitamin B12. And as a vegan, it's important to take a supplement. But if you have acne, you will probably know, or at least for me, vitamin B12 supplementation gave me the worst skin. It triggered cystic acne so bad for me that I just refused to keep on taking it. And it's actually in the medical literature to show for some people, for some reason, supplementing high doses of vitamin B12 can trigger acne, even in people that aren't generally acne prone. That was part of it for me. Okay, I can't supplement B12 or I won't supplement it because I am not going to ruin my skin, especially with all the progress that I've made in clearing my skin. So not just B12, but there's plenty of other nutrients as well, which is what helped me to decide to bring in animal products again. So things like your B vitamins, choline, vitamin D, high quality omega-3 fatty acids, amino acids like taurine, for example. And then there's vitamin A1, which you can only get from animal foods. You can get preformed vitamin A from plant foods, but then your body has to work to convert that. And then calcium and zinc, which is really important for skin health, and selenium. So that was a big part of it for me, is looking at all the nutrients that I was potentially missing out on. And actually that became to a point where I thought, you know what, I I'm going to have to bring in some animal foods again. And this process actually took me about 18 months from that realization point to the point of actually bringing back these foods in. If you are vegan, and because I've had quite a few messages from people saying that they are plant-based, they are vegan, and they feel like they want to bring back in animal products, but they feel guilty, or they just feel bad about it. And that's really sucks. It really is rubbish that we've got to this point where that it's almost like we're not allowed to change our minds about something. Once we have an opinion about something, we're not allowed to change our minds or bring some nuance into the issue that we're looking at. So it's okay to give yourself permission to change your mind. If something is not working for you anymore, if the way you're eating is not working for you anymore and you want to change it, that's okay. You can change your mind. A problem that I see within the vegan community is, for example, someone who becomes vegan and let's say they create their whole business around being vegan. Like, for example, Ravana. I don't know if you've heard of her. She was on YouTube. She still is, actually. Her business was all around eating vegan. And she got caught. I mean, someone filmed her in a restaurant eating fish. And I mean, that's crappy that someone filmed her doing that rather than just, you know, speaking to her first. But everyone seemed to go crazy in the vegan community and got so mad with her for doing that. And it's so sad that she probably felt like she couldn't be honest with her audience. And obviously for her, it's different because her livelihood was involved, because her whole business was around being vegan. At least I think it was, I believe so. And also just being a part of a community like that, if you start to have a differing opinion or some thoughts that maybe don't align with what everyone else is thinking, it can become difficult to break out of that, and you may be shunned, you may be banished, or you may feel like you're going to be banished, especially if, you know, all your friends have gone vegan. It can be really, really tricky. But I guess what we might see over the next decade or so, this might happen quite a lot more. People may decide that, okay, maybe being vegan was too much and maybe didn't work for my body. And so we might see more people stop being vegan. But also we could go the other way and there could be more people going vegan. Who knows? So coming onto the topic of acne and being vegan, people often ask me, does being plant-based help with a person's skin? This really depends. What I would say is, I think what's helpful, at least at first, is eliminating the conventional dairy. I think that's really helpful part of going plant-based that might show up in someone's skin. I've heard from so many people now who give me completely different perspectives. So there's a group of people who will say to me, oh, I went vegan and it really helped my skin. It really cleared it up. And then on the other hand, I'll have people who say, oh, I went vegan and I had the worst periods. My skin got really bad. And so you can see they're in complete contrast with each other. And once again, that just shows how individual we all are. And again, that is okay. Cutting out the dairy is probably helpful. And then also for people who, like me, before I was vegan, I didn't really eat that much veg. I didn't eat that much plant-based stuff at all. I had a very dairy-heavy diet. I would eat so much processed food, a lot of cheese, different things like that, that could have been triggering my acne. So when I went vegan and I actually started bringing in so much more whole foods and vegetables and different things like that, that would have helped so much. But guess what? You can do that without going vegan. You don't have to go to that extreme. You can potentially reduce or cut out dairy and bring in lots of healthy whole foods, lots of different veggies, cruciferous veggies, all these different things, and that will be really helpful. You don't necessarily have to cut out all animal products if you don't want to. And the truth is that just because a person is vegan or plant-based does not mean they are healthy. plant-based does not equal health. Vegan junk food is still junk food. I will definitely admit that when I was vegan and I'd have, you know, vegan type junk food, I'd be like, well, it's got to be better than having meat. It's got to be better than having meat type junk food. Well, I disagree with that now. I disagree with what my past self thought about that. I don't think that's actually true. I think there's so many chemicals in many different vegan products, especially some of the fake meats. So I say, when it comes to deciding what to eat and how to look at your overall diet, I would, for most people, say use your nutrition intuition. Because if you go with what your body is needing on a sort of primal level, what is your body needing? What nutrients are you needing? Are you craving things like eggs and steak and burgers and things like that? Or are you craving more lighter things like the salads, like broccoli, different things like that? And I will also say, when it comes to intuitive eating, it can be really good for some people. But I will say, if you have gut issues or if you have something like candida overgrowth, it's likely that you will have a lot of cravings for sugar and refined carbohydrates. So in that case, intuitive eating can be a little difficult. So I would recommend really getting your gut back in good health before actually doing intuitive eating. Unless you can tell the difference between the sort of the sugary cravings versus what your body actually needs. Does that make sense? So I'll just share a little bit more about my personal journey with going vegan. So like I said, I went vegan, and what I noticed very quickly with my skin is that it looked a lot clearer. As in, the undertone of my skin looked a lot more even and clear. My skin used to be incredibly blotchy. It still is a little bit. I think it's just I have an undertone of like pinky blue. But it got so much better once I went vegan. And I was so impressed with that. And that was one of the things that made me keep up to being vegan. At that point, I was still on the pill. And it was when I came off the pill that my skin went crazy. But initially, when I went vegan and I'd cut out the dairy, of course, my skin, after about a week, I noticed the undertone was just so different. And I was like, whoa. I remember actually taking a picture of myself and sending it to Paul. And I think that was the first ever makeup-free picture I'd ever sent him. I don't know if he can remember this. But for once, I felt confident enough to take a picture without foundation on, which was amazing for me. So that just showed how quickly food or cutting out certain foods can have an impact on your skin. So that was when I first went vegan. Gosh, it feels so long ago. So then the years went by and years went by, and it got to, I'd say, maybe a couple of years ago. I think when I was in New Zealand, I started having a little bit of cravings for different animal foods, but I never acted upon it. And what I also noticed was, after I'd been vegan a while, I became depressed and I ended up going on antidepressants. And I don't want to blame it all on veganism. I don't think that's fair. I think there were a lot of things at play. You know, I was in a job that wasn't right for me, and I just always felt anxious. And I remember one morning I physically felt like I couldn't move to go to work. It was like my body had given up and was just like, no, you are not going to this job that you hate, that is sucking your soul out of you. And I know it sounds dramatic. It was just I was working in marketing in a kind of full-time 9-to-5 office job. But my body knew that that job was sucking the life out of me, essentially. And it's not what I was meant to be doing. As I say, I don't want to blame depression on veganism, because I don't think that's necessarily fair. But I do think veganism does have an impact on brain health. I will definitely say that. I believe that is true. I mentally wasn't in the best state. And, you know, like I say, my job, I was so unhappy with my job. And I knew I was meant to be doing something else, but I just didn't know what. And that made me feel even more depressed because I felt like I had no purpose. And then I think just a long time of not having maybe some of the nutrients that I needed, maybe that made it so much worse. I don't know. But anyway, I did go on antidepressants, and I've been on antidepressants for longer than I would have ever wanted to be, but that just is what it is, and it's okay. So it's only been this year that I actually decided to bring back in animal products, and I can say I want to kind of touch wood on this because I hopefully it's not a fluke, but like the past few cycles of my period have been pain-free, pretty much pain-free, which is so good. And I've been eating a lot of eggs, so there's so much nutrition in an egg. And obviously I make sure I get organic, make sure they're pasture-raised, free-range eggs. That's really important. Some people can find eggs inflammatory, and especially if you get the eggs from caged hens, that's not a good idea. They can definitely be inflammatory. Remember, you are eating a product of that animal. So if that animal is stressed out and unhappy and cooped up in a cage, then you are eating that. You're essentially eating that energy. So making sure you get decent eggs if you do decide to eat them is really important. But yeah, my past few periods, they have been, touch wood, pain-free, almost pain-free, which is a really good sign, because there were points over the past, you know, six years where my period pain was at a level that didn't feel healthy to me. A certain level of period pain is okay, but when it goes over a certain level, it's like, okay, no, this is not a good sign. Period pain is not actually normal. It's very common, but it's not actually normal. It's not something that's exactly healthy. A little bit is, but if you are in so much pain and you can't move or you can't go to work, then that's a sign that you maybe just need to have a look at that and look at lifestyle and diet things, maybe see your doctor. I'm not saying that anything is like drastically wrong, by the way. I'm just saying that, you know, lifestyle and diet changes can make such a big difference. I'm telling you, just from my own experience, it can make a huge difference. Just bringing in, for example, a bunch of different vegetables and cruciferous vegetables and foods that support your liver and your gut, doing those things can be so, so, so helpful. That has been my experience with kind of becoming vegan, being vegan for a long time, experiencing depression and anxiety and going on antidepressants. And then, of course, recently bringing back in the animal products. I've really just been seeing and experimenting with how my body feels and not judging myself anymore for what I'm eating and not judging myself for eating animal products. There's a lot of guilt that comes with being vegan and trying to be this perfect vegan. And when you break out of that, it can feel, I don't know, it can make you feel really bad. It can make you feel like you are a crappy person. But you're not a crappy person. And this is something I also want to touch on, which I cannot remember who, I saw someone put something about this on their Instagram story. I cannot remember who it was. If you're listening and it's you, let me know. But I can't remember who it was. It was a woman, and she was talking about, she had been vegan for 11 years and then she isn't vegan anymore. And she was talking about like nurturing her body with all these different animal products. And I started thinking, with veganism, I am literally putting animals before myself. And yes, it's selfless and honorable in some ways. Okay, yeah. When it comes at risk of my own health, is that really a good thing to be putting myself below an animal and saying that, well, it's okay because I'm doing this honorable thing and I'm not eating animals and I'm not having any animal products at all, even if I do become nutrient depleted? I think that's a problem. And throughout my life, I've really dealt with confidence issues and self-esteem and feeling like I'm a worthy human being. just, I don't know why, but forever, and I've shared this so many times, my self-esteem has been very shaky. And one thing I've noticed over the past couple of years, especially over this past year, I don't know, maybe it's just being in my 30s, but my self-esteem feels a lot more solid. And I want to honor myself. I want to honor my body. I want to respect myself and give myself all the nutrients that I need. I also want to give myself all the joy that I deserve and the experiences, a variety of experiences and joy and happiness. And I want to give myself that because I deserve that. Every human deserves to have health and to have a good life. Stopping putting myself at the bottom of the pile, you know, trying to do something honorable, trying to do something good, whilst my health is declining, is not necessarily a great thing. In fact, it's just not a good thing. What I'm getting at is what this woman was saying on her Instagram story. She was saying something about self-esteem, and it often seems as though people who are vegan have low self-esteem or are dealing with some sort of issue within themselves. And they're kind of, this does not apply to all vegans, by the way. Let's just say that. But they're almost using it as a way to feel better about themselves or as a more worthy person. Do you know what I mean? It's like trying to prove yourself. I know that was a part of me. I was almost trying to prove myself that I'm a good person, that I'm a worthy human. But the truth is, if I genuinely see myself as a worthy human being, then I have to give myself what my body needs. And if that is animal protein right now, then that is animal protein right now. And that's okay. And I don't want to judge myself anymore. And the same goes for when we talk about acne, and I talk about elimination diets a lot. Elimination diets and restricting your food can be really, really, really helpful when you have a chronic illness. It can be really helpful, but it's definitely not something you want to do forever, because it can definitely be a way of punishing yourself, restricting all these different foods. It can be a way of punishing yourself. Whenever I talk about elimination diets and like cutting certain foods out of your diet, it's only for a limited time. It's definitely not forever. And this brings me on to my next point, which is something I've realized, in that I've done the elimination diets. I know my acne triggers. I have definitely helped to heal my gut. It's not 100% healthy. I definitely have work to do with my gut, but I can now know my limits, for example, with sugar and different foods that I enjoy having, like dark chocolate, for example. You know, I now can safely bring those foods back in just a little bit, and I can enjoy them without punishing myself. And I know my limit. So I know if I start to have this every day, or if I start to have a stupid amount of this food, it's going to knock my body off balance again, which is what I don't want. Maybe I'll do a whole other episode on this, but balance is very important. And another point as well about being vegan is something I notice is that sometimes if you go so far in one direction, so for like me going so far into veganism, I actually went to raw veganism and all I was eating was fruit and salad, pretty much. Going so far in that direction and denying myself of so many different food groups that it got to a point where I was like, almost desperate for some animal food. And when I started bringing in eggs, for example, I wanted so many of them. And I had like, there was a week where I just had eggs every day because it was like I needed to rebalance. And sometimes that's what happens. If you go too far down one path, you kind of tip the scale, and it's like, at some point, you're going to have to come back and balance out. You can't necessarily go down an extreme route without coming back to balance at some point. Not always. Maybe I'm wrong, but that was just my experience. And it was the same, you know, I spent a couple of years being sugar-free, pretty much completely sugar-free. And now I'm like bringing bits of sugar back in because I'm coming back to balance again. And this is what I say. It's like whenever I talk about eating sugar, or like even eating fruit, when you're healing acne, if you have really severe acne, especially, leaving out fruit for a little bit can be really, really helpful. Leaving out sugar for a little bit can be really, really helpful. But then there's probably going to be a point where bringing back in fruit and things like that is going to be really good for you, because there's so many nutrients in fruit. For example, in wild blueberries, there's so many nutrients in fruit that's great for you. So it's always about coming back to balance. And just coming on to my last point, I feel like maybe I'd like to get an expert in to talk about this bit. So being plant-based is a good option for women's health. So I'd love to get in maybe someone who is plant-based, or someone who's an expert when it comes to plant-based nutrition maybe and women's health. But is being plant-based a good option for women's health and things like fertility? From what I have researched and from what I have realized is that when it comes to fertility, veganism may not be the best, dare I say, but having said that, there are so many women who seem to have really great plant-based pregnancies. So, you know, who am I to say that? Because there are plenty of women who seem to do really great and have, you know, really healthy babies. So maybe I'm wrong, but there's a really great podcast called Fertility Friday. And the podcast host, she has talked about this with a bunch of different experts many times. And they've talked about how maybe being plant-based is not the best for something like pregnancy because of the brain health of the baby and things like that. But who knows? Who actually knows? So is it a good option for women's health? It could be. It depends. It depends on your unique body, your unique lifestyle. It depends on your environment, where you live. Fully Raw Christina, you know, she lives in Hawaii. She is on a fully raw vegan diet and it works really well for her. But that doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to work well for me sitting here in, you know, rainy, cold UK. The idea of eating warm stew and soup and warming foods is a lot better to me than the idea of eating a cold salad or like cold fruit. And that is a little bit, if you want to look into that, that is a little bit of Ayurveda as well. So if you want to look into that, they talk about eating for what season you are in. And I really love that as well. So coming to the end of the episode, ultimately, I think it's a very individual decision of how you eat and if you are vegan or not. And whether it actually helps your acne or not. Yes, it could do. It can do for some people. But for some people, it might make your acne worse, and it really depends on what you are eating as a plant-based person. There are many different variables. Ultimately, I think you should go with your own instincts about the situation. Go with your own instincts and knowledge about your own body, because no one can tell you what to eat. It has to come from you, ultimately. People can give you information about food, like I do sometimes, but ultimately it's you that has to deal with your body, and it's you that feels how your body feels. So you know how you feel if you eat a certain food, if it makes you feel crappy or if it makes you feel good. You really have to lean into that and use that as your guide. So thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for all your support with the first episode of the podcast. I've been very, very grateful and surprised at how many listeners I've had already. That makes me really, really happy. I'm very lucky because I have my partner who did sound engineering at university. So he is doing all of the editing for this, which is so good, because otherwise I don't even think I would have been able to do the podcast, because the idea of all the tech stuff just is overwhelming. So thank you so much for all your support on the podcast, and I will see you in the next episode. I would love to hear from you if you've listened to this episode and you liked it, it was helpful. I'd love to hear from you. Send me your feedback on Instagram. I'd love it if you're listening on Apple, if you could subscribe, or if you're on Spotify, make sure you subscribe and rate the podcast. Give it a 5-star review. I don't even know if I'm allowed to say that, but yeah, give it a 5-star review. And I will see you in the next episode. Thank you so much for listening.